receive a copy of God's Word, the Bible. Perchance you've never read it, had the opportunity. Well, now you have it. A free gift offered to you, a copy of an extract from the Bible entitled Mark or Luke's Gospel, whichever you please. But it is God's Word, the message of peace to a very seriously disordered and troubled world. Of course, we talk a lot about peace, don't we? People talk about a religion of peace, and yet we find again, over and over again, there's nothing but death and bloodshed that comes from it. Well, the Bible does tell us quite clearly that no murderer has eternal life. A person, a man or woman who has been born of God is a person who is like God, peaceable, loving, kind and gentle towards all men. So you can see clearly, you see what's of God and what isn't. It's by their fruits that Jesus tells us that you will know them, whether that is they be of the truth of God or not. It is distinctive, it is discernible, and of course it's only the Word of God, the Bible, the truth itself, that will lead you to that discernment. But of course, sad season, sad time of the year, once again, and many of you doubtless will worship once more at the shrine of a commercial Christmas, Christmas without Christ. Oh, and it's sad. It's the result, of course, or the cause, rather, of much of the brokenness in our society, in our world today. Message of Christmas. Many of you will send out Christmas cards with and give them to other people with messages of hope, peace toward all men. Phrases, of course, that have come directly from the Bible. But I wonder how many of you this afternoon, under the sound of my voice, know anything about or of that peace, what that peace is, how you obtain it, the reality of it, I mean the experience of it. I don't doubt for a moment that there are many, many people in our society who would say this Christmas time, oh yes, I do wish that I had a measure, just a little bit of peace. Well, peace is to be had, peace is to be found. That is the reality of the Christmas message. It's not to be found in religion, neither is it to be found in godless atheism, which is just another branch of religion. I know that the godless, they tell me they are not religious, but yes, they are. They say they don't believe in God. That's what you believe. That's not what you can prove, only what you believe. It's your religion, nothing more and nothing less.
Well, you've upgraded, mate. You got an earpiece now. Looking better now.
Okay, good. So, you see, people, peace, it comes neither through, it definitely does not come through unbelief, and it doesn't come through religion. It comes through the person of God's Son who was sent into the world. The Bible tells us the reason for the incarnation, that is the birth of Jesus Christ, that we as Christians celebrate at this time of year. It doesn't mean necessarily that Jesus Christ was born on the 25th of December, I doubt very much whether he was. That's not the point. The point is he came into the world. That's a reality, an historical reality, an indisputable reality. He came, he lived, he died on a Roman cross, and he rose again from the dead, that men and women might know peace with God and might know the peace of God. There is much, of course, written in the Bible about peace. For example, maybe I could read to you just a few words, an extract from the Bible. Therefore, since we have been justified, made right, that is, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, the favor of God, that is, in which we stand. The peace of God, you see, peace with God has to be made first before you come to know, realize, and experience the peace of God, which the Bible says surpasses all understanding. But of course, it's a matter of faith. It's what you believe. You believe that there is no God? Well, you have no peace. You believe in heathen religion? You have no peace. You believe that which is wrong, erroneous? You believe that which is contrary to what the Bible teaches? You're free to believe what you will. You can believe in the man in the moon if you want. You can believe in Santa Claus if you want, but that will not bring you peace. It is only believing the truth. It is only trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ, he who is the personification of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No man comes to the Father only through me. It's faith, you see, that brings the benefits of the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, to a person, whether it be peace, whether it be joy, whether it be hope, whatever it might be, whatever benefits or privileges are afforded to the human race by God, they are gotten simply and only through faith in Jesus, the one I declared to you this afternoon. So peace toward all men, yeah, that's the reality too. God has made peace, and enough peace for the whole world, if but the world would believe in Jesus. But of course, the reason why you do not have peace, and many of you, your peace will be seriously disturbed in just over a week's time. You begin to celebrate what you call Christmas, but without Christ, and it will be anything but a peaceful occasion for many of you. It'll end up in mayhem, in more brokenness, more debt, and more trouble. Anything but peace. But peace, you see, has been made. The Son of God has made peace through his blood. That is the shedding of his blood on the cross, that men and women might know the peace of God. Peace, you see, it cannot be had without a right relationship with God. It flows from a right relationship with God. You see, this world in which you live, you talk about religion causing all the trouble, all the death and bloodshed that you see in the papers this morning, whether it be Pakistan, Sydney in Australia, or anywhere else, New York City, all that bloodshed, all that carnage, you see, it's the result of men not being right with God. The very contrary to what they profess, to what they claim. Peace, you see, comes to a person's heart. It comes into a person's life when they know the favor of God and they know a right relationship with God, and that comes about through Jesus Christ, the peace that he made on the cross. But this world in which you live can never, will never be at peace as long as it's hostile to God. The sinful mind, the natural mind, is hostile to God, the Bible says. Well, if you're an enemy of God, how can you possibly have peace? How can the world possibly have peace as long as it's an enemy of God? You see, peace, first of all, terms of peace have to be sought, and those terms of peace have to be accepted. Well, God, you see, he has set out the terms quite clearly in the Bible, and to put it simply, he says, believe on my Son, Jesus Christ, and you will have peace. But as long, of course, as you choose to be an enemy of God, you choose to be hostile to God, devising other means of getting peace through your heathen religion, murderous religion, or through whatever other means men devise, you will never, never obtain peace as long as you're at war with God. You see, people, peace is made with God through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He shed his blood on the cross that men and women might be right with him, in a right relationship with him, and know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But you see, peace towards all men, yeah, as long as you accept the terms, God's terms, not yours. But peace is a fruit of the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one whom we claim to celebrate come 25th of December. But of course, he's not even in the equation, is he? It's just more of the drunken and more of the gluttony. No, people, as long as you choose a Christless Christmas, your wishes, your good wishes, sincere and well intended though they might be, your wishes of good peace towards your friends are just your imagination. They're just wishful thinking. The reality is, you have to do something. What's to do? Repent, says Jesus, and believe the gospel, the good news concerning him, and you will have peace with God, and you will know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But you see, it's the condition of man. And you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this, to grasp this. The condition and the state of man, of course, reveals the need for peace. Look at the trouble that you have all over the world. And it's not all down to Islam. Much of it is, I'll give you that, at the present moment. But that's not all of them. And it's not everyone who subscribes to that religion who is responsible for all the trouble. And of course, it's not all down to religion either, because there are many other forms of troublemakers throughout the world, the causes of war and the causes of destruction. But you see, there will always be that. Jesus tells us there will always be wars and rumors of wars. This will always be. It cannot be otherwise. Why? Well, because of the state, the condition of man's heart. Born in sin, conceived in sin. Sin is your natural state and condition in which you came into the world. And of course, that's the reason why men, all men, including yourself, sin, that is, do wrong, that which is contrary to God and to human good, humankind. It's the fact, if you stop and think for a moment, ask yourself the question, why do you do things that you know to be wrong? You know the consequences, you know what the fallout will be, but still you do it. And maybe perhaps in a quieter moment you ask yourself the question, well, why did I do that stupid, dumb thing? I knew it was wrong, but still you do it. You see, people, we all do it because we're all sinners, born in sin, conceived in sin, in a sinful state and condition. And so we hurt ourselves, we hurt one another, we hurt our neighbors. Jesus says that the sum of God's law is this, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And of course, well, the reverse side of that is that is to hate God and to hate your neighbor. But that's the state, that's the natural condition of every single one of us. We don't love God, we hate him. You don't love your neighbor, you hate your neighbor. And that's why you harm your neighbor. That's why you steal and kill and commit adultery. That's why the legion of abortions, that's why the thousands and millions of unborn children murdered, dragged from their mother's wombs and slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure. That's why elderly people and terminally...
No one wants to listen to that. You know what, Steve? Oi.
Pardon?
Just think about what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Not everyone's like that.
Are they?
No.
Oh.
No, you just say about abortion and all that shit, yeah? People have abortions for a reason. Okay, so a girl gets raped, yeah?
There's no reason for
it. So she has to give birth to that kid, does she? Well, shut the fuck up then. You can't judge everyone the same.
Stop swearing at me.
You're chatting bollocks, mate.
Stop
swearing.
Like,
I almighty, yeah? You think you are God's son?
And
you're all the fish of Christ,
but yeah? Without swearing.
You think you are God.
Stop swearing.
Well,
can't even speak, you see, without blaspheming and cursing and swearing. The sinful mind, as has just been demonstrated, is hostile to God.
So simple.
Cannot be any other. That's the state, the natural state and condition of humankind. And that's why there is so much dispeace in your world. That's why there is no peace.
Is your world so perfect then? Is your world so perfect?
In your society and in your world today. Peace towards all men, that comes to us through Jesus Christ and the wonderful sacrifice that he has made on the cross, dying for sinners, for the ungodly, for those who have no peace, that they might have peace with God and know the peace of God that passes all understanding. But of course, this peace with God, it starts with a relationship, a right relationship, that is, with God, knowing the friendship and the loving kindness of God. Truth, you see, is that God so loved the world, yes, a hostile world, a world that's an enemy to him, yes, a world that's got it so wrong, a world that's killed its unborn infants, a world that is full of adultery, sexual promiscuity, that kind of world, a world soaked in sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might know the peace of God, peace with God, and the peace of God. But you see, it begins with the right relationship, not religion, but relationship, relating, that is, to God through Jesus Christ, through his Son. There is no other. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no one comes to the Father except through me, he tells us. The Bible elsewhere tells us clearly that there is no salvation to be found in any other name, only the name of Jesus that I declare to you this afternoon. You see, God has made a way, you see. God has provided the way. God has done everything necessary in order for a person to have peace with him and to know and enjoy the peace of God. The worst, yes, and the best of you, there is no one, I tell you, whatever you've done, whatever you've been doing, whatever catalogue of sins that you have against you, there is only one sin that keeps you from peace with God, and that is the refusal to believe, a rejection of Jesus Christ. That means no peace. That means you continue on in your hostility to God. But for those who seek, for those who want, for those who desire peace, that peace is to be had, that peace is to be found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And of course it brings us into a happy state. It brings us into a state of joyfulness. Not just peace towards all men, but joy for all mankind. Joy, I mean, not the happiness that we talk about, you know, that's the result of perhaps maybe having money in the bank, you know, or a plastic card to use, or alcohol within you, or drugs in you, you know, circumstances. We're happy, or we're very happy, as long as the circumstances are good. But that doesn't happen very often, does it? Most of the time, majority of the days, you spend them in misery and in unhappiness, because the circumstances are very seldomly appropriate to your happiness. The joyfulness, the joy that Jesus gives to a man or woman, is a joy that isn't based upon circumstances, is based upon a right relationship with God and access to God. A joy that comes to a person through knowing that their sins are forgiven, that there's peace between them and God. To a person who has access to God in a friendly relationship with God. But you see, it comes again, it comes through faith, through trusting in a person, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died in order that men and women might know, enjoy, experience that peace. It brings a person into a state of happiness, eternal happiness. It's a joy, Jesus says, that no one can take away from you. Once God's given it to you, or they might persecute you, hate you, you'll be hated perhaps by all men for the sake of Jesus, but oh, they can take even your life away, but never take your joy away. The joy that Jesus gives, it comes through, you see, a relationship depending upon, leaning upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died. See, the Bible tells us the reason why Jesus was born. Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? So that we could spend a day or two getting drunk and overindulging ourselves yet again. No, in order that we might be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save, to rescue sinners, to rescue us from from that which we cannot rescue ourselves. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we work at it, it's an impossibility. God, you see, has provided all. Jesus has done everything. When he died on the cross, he cried, "It is finished. Done. Everything's done. Nothing left to be done." He fulfilled it all. And all that's left for you and I is simply to trust him, to believe on him, and we will be saved. And we will know peace with God, and we will know the peace of God.
So we all should be grateful for that.
Relationship with God,
and into
a happy state of mind. The hostility, the anger, gone forever. You see, Jesus is able. Oh, believe me, able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him, through Jesus, that is, and through Jesus alone. And then, of course, well, we go on to the subject of hope. These are all the benefits, you see, that come to a person, you see, when they believe, when they put their trust in Jesus, in the Son of God, peace and joy, and then hope, you see, hope that doesn't disappoint, hope that, you know, doesn't vanish in front of you. It's a real hope, it's a concrete hope, you know. Many people I know, they hope that they'll win the lottery, but of course, well, we know that's no hope at all, is it, really? And then, because they think that, well, money's the answer to all their problems, it's not. It's just the beginning of them. And then, of course, somebody else hopes that, well, they don't know what, that something will turn up, something will come round the corner, some sugar daddy will arrive on the scene, and all your problems will be dissolved and whisked away. No hope at all, people. Some people's hopes are in the world. Some people put their hopes in politicians. That's very sad, isn't it? Some people put their hope in all kinds of other people, but they're just sinners like you. So they'll disappoint you, they'll fail you, they'll let you down, just the same as everybody else. Now, we need something more concrete than that. We need a sure hope, a steadfast hope. We need one that won't bring us to disappointment. And that's to be found, of course, only in the gospel concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. The one, of course, who has given us this living hope. It's a living hope. Why? Because it makes us alive with God, keeps us alive with God, and gives us a hope not just for this world, but for the world to come. You live in a world of utter hopelessness. Isn't it true that all the troubles you see in the world today, and in your own society as well, isn't it clear to you yet, you know, that the politicians, whoever they be, the greatest and the smallest, the Obamas, the Putins and the Camerons, they haven't got a clue. They've no more got an answer to all the troubles than you have. Put your hope in them, well, you'll just be continually disappointed. Now, it's a world of hopelessness. Why? Because it has no hope. And there's nothing more despairing, there's nothing more hopeless than godless atheism. I recall talking to a young man here some time ago now, very clever young man, sixth form college, well educated, oh clever, much more clever than I, and he argued for his godless atheism, very amicably, very kindly spoken, lovely young man. And we came to the end of it after half an hour, and I said to him, But what you're proposing, I said, is nothing but utter despair. And he said, you're right. You're right, he said, that's all that we've got. Well, that might be all you've got, but it's not all I've got. And it's not all the gospel's got. Not hopelessness, not despair, but people, a glorious end. A glorious end. Even in the face of death, there is hope in Jesus Christ, but only in him. Still a good question. Where will you spend eternity? Huh? 1 second after you die, you're faced with the reality. It is appointed unto man once to die after this. What then? End the story. Finito, black hole, unknown, 6 feet of earth, finish. No, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. He says it's appointed for man to die once. After this, then comes the judgment. But of course, for some of you, that will be too late then. Now's the time, the Bible says. It says the time is short, but it says now is the acceptable time when a man or woman might get right with God and know the peace of God and know the joy of the gospel and know the hope of glory and know the hope of heaven. So when you send these cards, you write them and sign them, and you read the words, peace to all men, hope, joy, glad tidings. Well, stop and think for a moment, will you, what those words actually mean, what they mean, and what they do mean to you, and what they could mean to you, if only you were to do an about turn. If only you are about to turn around, repent, the Bible calls it. Turn from your sin and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace would be yours. Justified, made right with God, at peace with God, and knowing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, flowing through, flooding your heart and mind. And maybe, who knows, for you, giving you the most peaceful and the most joyful and hopeful Christmas as ever you had before. The real Christmas. Jesus, that's his name. It means salvation. He is salvation. There's no salvation without him. Jesus, he's the reason for the season. He came into the world to save sinners like you and I, that we might be right with God and know hope and joy and peace through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you. Well, as I say, it's in the Bible. You don't need to take my word for these things. It's offered to you. Copy of Mark's Gospel. Read for yourself and see. Check it out. Good news. Nothing in here that would harm you. Knock comes to the door. You don't have to hide it under the cushion, you know, for fear of somebody seeing it. No embarrassment. It's the word of God. It's the truth of God. Make you free. Make you happy. Make you hopeful. Make you joyful. It's the word of God. And with power is able to save you and make you wise for salvation. Check it out. Read for yourself and see. It's offered to you free. No charge, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. He who believes shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You'd like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and grant you that salvation, that hope and that joy and that peace. that Jesus came, lived and died and rose again from the dead to give to men and women who will simply and only accept, receive him. To as many as receives him, to them he gave the right to become children of the living God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You'd like a copy of God's word? Come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy upon your souls.